The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. Hey, and this week we really test that whole Brightside thing. John and I get into it a little bit, a little animosity going on there. But we clear things up, and hey, stay tuned at the end of the podcast. We close the store and we go into spoilers for the new J.J. Abrams Spider-Man and for House of X number 5. So check that out. But first, we got to get into the store. Let's go. Hey, John, how we doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Great. Great to be back here at Arkham Comics and Games.
I know.
And you got your books on time this week.
I did. Yes, it was a minor miracle.
Yeah, and my first experience of delayed books really put a crimp in my day.
Yeah, it's no fun.
No. No, but we do what we got to do. Get by.
Hey, we soldier on. First world problems.
Yeah, exactly. Where are my comic books? Yeah. How old are you?
I mean, at least for me, it's my business. So, you know, it is an issue. But
yeah, it's tough. It's. I mean, you show up at the store and you're like, books. It's funny. I walk into the store this morning, and you saw the picture. I put it out, and like the shelves were empty. I was like, and this was the one morning I was like running a little behind, so I showed up like 5 minutes late than I usually do. I'm like, what the heck? I'm 5 minutes late and all the books are gone? What happened?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't matter how much you put it out there. You know, I put it out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, email blast, and still half of my people show up on Wednesday morning looking for the books.
Yeah.
So. Nothing stops them. It's like the post office, you know, like wind, rain, sleet, or hail doesn't stop them from coming for their comic books.
Yeah. So, oh, well. So, I got them later. I think I got them I had to get back there. I got back there at like 1:30. Went to work, did some work, went back, and I went back to work. But.
Well, that's good. Then they still had them actually relatively early.
Cause
when mine don't show up, I don't have them on the shelf till about 4 o'clock because the UPS doesn't drop them off till 1:30 or 2.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the good.
I end up getting them pretty late in the day.
Yeah. It was all right, though. I mean, it was that House of X that really, and we'll get into that later, but that was what really set me. I was dying to read that. I had set timer aside before I got to work in the morning, and now I'm like, okay, I got nothing to do. Yeah. So, oh, well. All right, you ready to get to whatever we got for news?
Sure.
All right, what do you got so far?
So, Disney Plus rumor. There is rumored to be a spinoff for Solo in the works for Disney Plus. Maybe not necessarily a Solo 2 per se, but more about like the Crimson Dawn.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't expect Han or Chewie to be involved. Like, not necessarily like a direct sequel, but more like a spin-off of Solo, I think, than anything. But, you know, we speculated that the Obi-Wan series may fill that role, and maybe that won't be the case. Or maybe they'll all tie in together, and it'll be another Star Wars universe unto itself, you know?
Yeah.
But, again, just rumors at this point, but that would be pretty cool, because, you know, like we've mentioned several times, that's the biggest issue I have with that movie not getting a sequel is that we don't get the storyline that it kind of dangled for us at the end of that movie. So fingers crossed that actually takes place, because that would be pretty cool.
Yes. That would, I mean, I really like the idea of the shared universe thing. I think a lot of people, that model is working everywhere. It's working in the CW. It's clearly working at Marvel. And if they do that with the Star Wars, especially on Disney Plus,
Yeah.
You just get a few actors to pop up in different roles or same role in different shows, and tying these shows together, it just makes us as a viewer like it happened. I mean, honestly, I think comic books were the first ones to do it, you know, yeah. And that's how they moved comic books. That's why, you know, characters would pop up in other books to get people like, oh, you know, like Spider-Man's in Daredevil. It's like, okay, I got to see that Daredevil issue. And it's, you know, it works. It ties it in where it's kind of like human nature. We like to be in a group. So it's like nice to see people in a group.
Well, and even though, like I said, the timeline works. So even if the Obi-Wan show doesn't have anything to do with the Crimson Dawn or whatever, I mean, they're still all going to be, you know, around that Tatooine area.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the same zip code. So, like, even just one episode, Obi-Wan could pop up and do something. Or, you know, Kira, what's her name? Emilia Clarke could show up for an episode in the Obi-Wan series. And, you know, that's just enough to tie it together, even if the storylines don't merge at all after
right. That.
You know, just that little cameo pop-up to let you know they're all happening around the same time in the same zip code.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's cool. It's good enough for us, you know.
Yep.
So that sounds pretty cool. Sticking with, you know, Disney, it looks like Robert Downey Jr. potentially might not be done with the Iron Man role because there's rumors that he might pop up in the Black Widow movie.
Yep.
Which also makes sense because given the timeline of that we know that movie takes place, you know, obviously Iron Man and Tony Stark are still all over the MCU at that point in time. I was under the impression that he was done with Iron Man and had walked away.
Right.
But either it was a cameo that was already filmed and, you know, they're just throwing it in there, or, you know, he had one more little role left on his contract.
So my question to you, that was one of them, but my question to you before we get to that question, do you think it's better that they told us that it leaked, or would you have preferred to be shocked and see?
I would have liked to have been surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have liked to have been surprised. I mean, you know that about me already.
Oh, no. I know.
You know, but I don't like trail. You know, right. I like to be surprised on that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas even though I know you like the trailers and stuff, I feel like I know that you would have rather been surprised.
I would have much rather have been surprised on this, but don't you think this helps sell tickets? You know what I mean?
I guess so. I don't know that it brings that many more people that weren't going to see it anyways.
Really?
I mean, do you think if I was on the fence about seeing this movie, his cameo wouldn't push me over the edge necessarily?
It depends on what kind of cameo it is, because if it's like remember when Captain America showed up in Thor the Dark World, and Chris Evans, you know, because Loki changed into him,
right?
We were like oh, that's cool, but it wasn't, we all knew that was Loki, so it wasn't
right.
You didn't even though that was Chris Evans, it was a cool little trick. Yeah. And it was fun,
but
the lines
Captain
they gave
America.
Him, but it wasn't Captain America, so we didn't have anything like, you didn't have that same sensation. But if it's a bit role, even if it's just a bit role like that, I don't think we would be like, okay.
Well, I don't think we'll know the extent of the cameo.
No,
until
we won't.
The movie
we
comes
won't.
Out anyway.
We won't. But what I'm saying is who knows who else could be popping in now that we don't know about.
I just think it's an MCU movie. Everybody's in the bag for it anyways.
Right.
It'll have been a year and a half since the last one by the time this comes out. Everybody's going to be so jonesing for a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's in it or who it's about. Everybody's going to go see it.
It'll be just over a year. It comes out in May, and Spider-Man just...
Yeah, I guess a year.
Yeah, so it's been a year since Infinity War. It's the only thing we're missing is that, like, the one in February that we got last year with Captain
Marvel.
Right,
but still, people are, you know.
Oh, yeah, we're
going
to...
People are already, you know. Of course, well, actually, we won't even have a Disney Plus show by then, I don't think. So this will really be the next thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it helps sell that many more tickets, to be honest with you. I would have rather not known. I mean, as soon as the first screening happens, the cat's going to be out of the bag anyways. You know, it's only good for the people on the first night,
which is usually with a Marvel movie, everybody,
which will be me. Yeah. So, it would have been good for me, and that's really all I care about. So
yeah.
When you come right down to it.
All right, what else? You got anything else?
A couple more things. Yeah, it looks like the NBC streaming service.
That was the one I have, the streaming wars have begun. Did you see that disgusting film tweet? And they went through all of them.
Well, yeah,
or
but
a bunch of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is one that I probably was not going to be on board for until I saw that they're doing
a Battlestar Galactica remake. And I was like, so is it a remake of the early one or a remake of the second one?
Supposedly, it's not either. It's actually, from what I read, it's not a reboot or a remake. It's just a spinoff, per se, that's supposed to take place in the same general time frame as the newer show, the Edward James Olmos show. How much they intersect or anything like that, we have no idea. I wouldn't expect really any of the characters.
Did you see a price on that
up.
On ABC on the Peacock one?
No, not yet. But that's all that I've seen. Of course, you know they're newer to the we just started hearing about them, so they haven't done a lot of stuff. But they're doing a Punky Brewster remake. Like, there's not a lot that they're doing that I'm really that interested in. But it's kind of like the CBS app where I'm going to pay for it just to get Star Trek. I'll pay for this just to get Battlestar Galactica, and then we'll see what else. But I am not down for another streaming service, to be honest with you. Well, I have to have – I love my Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I do too. I thought of two things when I saw this. It's the first thing I thought was like it was funny. All these networks and content providers are like somebody in advertising throw a logo together. We're just announcing we're coming out with a streaming service. Right. Well, we don't have anything yet, but we are going to because that's the way everything's going. And
well, did you get Ralph this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't really reiterate his stream. Like he announced his own streaming service.
But it,
and I was thinking we should announce one for ourselves.
Yeah, the Brightside streaming service. It's like,
yeah, we don't have any content, but you can give us $3 a month anyways.
Yeah, exactly. No, we have content. It's just not 24/7. Actually, you couldn't get it whatever you want. You just have to listen to the same thing over and over.
Right, it just doesn't last that long.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
No, so this is the dirty little secret. I've mentioned it in the past. This is the way everything's going. It's like, you know, cord cutters.
Oh, right.
The original cord cutters were like, I'm going to save money by cutting the cord. And now it's like, this is cable. Everything's going to go away. And this is what we're going to be doing. And it's like, you see what's happening. Like, we have CBS, we have ABC. Obviously, NBC is going to be with Disney Plus. And Fox, do they have one? Or are they with
Fox?
No, I'm talking about the network, the TV network.
Oh.
But if everything goes to this streaming, that'll be like the NFL. I'm just picturing like the NFL selling their rights, and it's like CBS will stream these games. It'll be the same thing. And it's just we're changing over from cable and satellite to, all right, everything's streaming. And it.
I just want to know whose job it is to name these
Peacock
streaming services. Because the Peacock
it's
is
not
a
even
terrible
the.
Name. HBO Max.
Peacock.
HBO Max is a terrible name. Like, who's coming up with the names for these things? You know, Netflix. I mean, that is what it is, right? I mean, Netflix makes sense. Hulu, I guess, doesn't really make sense either,
That was Alphabet Soup? Like, they just, oh, look what's floating.
But I just don't know who's coming up with the names for these things. Like, somebody's getting paid a lot of money to come up with Peacock. And I feel like you could have thrown half the money at me and I could have come up with a better name than that.
And they don't even use in their logo, they don't even use the Peacock logo. It just says Peacock and then they have the color bar next to it of all the colors.
And the funny thing is somebody says Peacock and like 87 guys in suits sitting around a table all think it's a great idea. And they just like nobody speaks up and says, you know, that's stupid. I mean, not one guy, I guess, you know. raises his hand and says, you know, that's dumb.
Like, nobody foreshadowed maybe or thought to the future. And like, so people are going to be saying, hey, did you watch Peacock last night?
It's like, yeah. I mean, CBS has it right. I mean, they're CBS right. All Access.
Even
you know
Apple TV
is.
Plus and Disney
there is
Plus.
No,
it's like,
right. There is no question in your mind right. What you're watching when you watch Disney Plus or Apple Plus or CBS All Access. But when you say Peacock, I don't know what the hell I'm watching. It's like, is it the Nature Channel? Am I watching birds? Like, I don't know what I'm watching. So,
all right, I got one for you.
Like I said, I don't know who comes up with these.
Quibi. That's one of them. That's yeah.
Is
so,
that one
like,
of them?
The streaming wars have begun. Discussing Film put it out, and they said like HBO Max, Apple TV, Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus, Peacock, Amazon Prime, CBS All Access, Criterion Channel.
Yeah, no, that hasn't come out yet. Either,
actually, that's
another one
I think
that
was out, and it got moved around. But Quibi, Quibi.
Yeah, I don't know.
Quibi? Me neither. I had no idea.
Quibi. Qbert? Yeah. Is it like a video
yeah,
game
exactly.
from the 80s?
So, yeah, it's... I don't know. Actually, and you know what? I did want to mention this about Apple TV+. Some of those shows look halfway decent. They look like they... I think that's a pretty smart move on their part because their Apple TV is one of the... If not... It's arguably the best provider of all these platforms, right? So why not put your own content on there? And that's the only place you can get it. So
the only problem I have with the Apple service is that it is
what I was going to say is okay. They're putting their content on there and the only place you can get that is on there. But you can also get everything else on their thing. So everybody, instead of using a Fire Stick or Roku or whatever, people are going to be more apt to use an Apple TV if they want that content. And it's only another like $4. So you see what they're doing?
Right. But I see what they're doing. The issue I have with that is that they have nothing besides their own original content. There's literally nothing
else
on that service except for
their
original content.
They don't need to though, because here's why. Their Apple TV, the only place you can get their content is on an Apple TV, which has all the other content.
I get that, but it's not worth $5 a month to get one new show
right.
every month.
If you don't feel that, but you already got their Apple TV, but if you want to get it.
Well,
I know that.
Now.
But for people that don't have the Apple TV, if you do want to get it, if they come up with a show that's a hit that people like, say they come out with the next Game of Thrones or something and everybody wants it, you're going to have an Apple TV to do that. You see, that's what I'm saying.
I get it. I get that. I get what they're doing. I have a problem with them is that I don't consider them a streaming service necessarily because their content is going to be very, very limited for $5 a month.
Yeah, then don't get it.
You know,
look at
what you get for $6 a month from Disney. And, you know, what you're going to get for $5 a month from Apple. I just don't think they can produce enough new shows. Like, you'd have to be producing shows like
right.
like crazy to have something new every day on that show. I could turn into Disney every single day and not run out of content for
right.
2 years. I'm not going to be able to say that.
But all
with
they
Apple
need
TV.
To do is come up with a show that makes people buy their Apple TV. And then they don't care after that because they have you bought their Apple TV. And then if, you know what I mean? They're just right. trying to sell more Apple TVs. That's all. It's a different yeah. way of going about it. And it's like, look, if we can make a few shows, and they got the money. So make a few shows. Yeah. If it works, it works. If you don't want it, don't get it. But I see what they're doing. I think it's a pretty smart way to do it because they're trying to corner the market on being the box that gets you your content.
Yeah, I get it. Like I said, and some of those shows look pretty decent. You know, the Jason Momoa show,
S-E-E.
It's called.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good. Yeah, it looks interesting. I just don't know if they're going to have enough stuff to keep me engaged. It's $5
right.
a month.
Well, we'll see.
For a year. You know, because I don't care about half of the show. Half the shows they have,
right.
I don't care about. So they might be putting new content on all the time, but I'm not going to care about
yeah.
half of it. So, like, I won't pay $60 a year to watch to watch C for 10 episodes and then be done. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to see. I just don't know. I think long term, they're going to have to license out some other property somewhere, because I don't think they're going to be able to produce enough original content to keep people engaged for, you know, for that long. And then last but not least, we might as well keep the whole thing about streaming. Looks like HBO Max just scored big and landed The Big Bang Theory for, you know, exclusive rights for that. I guess I didn't have this as news, but it also broke that Netflix nailed down Seinfeld, which is big for them since they just lost The Office and Friends.
It starts in two years.
Yeah. Well, still. I mean, people will be streaming Seinfeld forever.
Yep.
So, but yeah, so Big Bang Theory, that's a, you know, that's a big get for HBO Max. So, that should be, I guess, if you're not already watching it and you haven't watched all of the Big Bang yet and you want to wait for that to come out, that's a reason to get HBO
Max. Yeah. I mean, I think there'll be other reasons. But it's another reason.
Yeah, but like I said, it just seems like this is the is the thing now, is like all these streaming services are fighting for, you know, completed sitcoms that have already had their run on network TV. I didn't think this is where the big money was. Like, I don't know why.
I don't think it's big money. It's just another thing that you can
it's big enough money that they're going
to
dish out.
Yeah, but it gets you to, it just puts more eyeballs on longer on their app. You know what I mean? Like, you want to watch, there's just more things for you. You're not going to go there just because it has Big Bang, but it's like, oh, look, it has this, this, and this. That's all. They're just, everybody's going for as much content as they can to keep you on their app as long as possible.
Yeah, I know. I get it. That's what I'm saying. I didn't realize that these shows were, you know, what was the most important thing to get for your streaming service, but apparently it is.
Did you see Jonah Hex is going to be in the Arrowverse crossover?
Yeah, I did that.
That he's already been on Legends.
Yeah, they've had him around a couple times.
Yeah, yeah, he popped in and out of Legends. What, in season one, season two, something like that?
Early on. Yeah, and then again last season. In, yeah.
So that's.
Yeah, I like the guy that's playing. I like him as a character. I like the guy that's playing him. So I think that's pretty cool.
And let's see. What else? Oh, what, Saturday's Batman Day? Did you know that?
Yes.
What do you got on that?
I would not be a very good, I would not be a very good store owner if I didn't know Saturday was Batman Day. Well, I mean, it happens every year. Every year, around the middle of September is a Saturday is Batman Day. For comic book stores, I mean, we have special comics to give away. Most stores will run different promotions for the day, usually revolving around Batman merchandise. But like I said, it's an annual event, so it's something that we look forward to as store owners.
Do you see why I was leading you in this direction?
One of the most popular characters.
To let everybody know? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, this, yeah. So there's a couple of different comics. The Batman Who Laughs in issue number one has kind of been redone as a giveaway comic. So we have that to give away. And then there's a, why can't I think of the name of the other one? But it's based on one of the young adult DC novels. And I'm drawing a complete blank on what that book is, but check any social media for any store that you frequent. They've probably got it posted, some kind of event for Batman Day.
Cool. and what was this one? This one just tonight, Dr. Joe started talking about, like the whole House of X and Powers of X. He made a question. He asked a question about, when it would come out, like as a special edition or something. And Ernie from Friendly Neighborhoods popped in and said, I believe a hardcover is scheduled for December. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I think that's what, I mean, we're already soliciting it.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
It's already, yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. I think it's December. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, so popular right now. And I'm wondering how many people have just decided to wait for that, because as we've talked about every week, people, because I actually did that with Doomsday Clock. I didn't start on that, and then when it was got delayed, I'm like, I'll just wait till the end.
I don't know how many people decided on their own or had it decided for them. Most of the people had it decided for them because they couldn't get the product. Yeah. And then once you can't get the first two issues or so, then you're just kind of resigned to waiting until it's over. And
that's what I mean. People just gave up and they'll just wait.
The trade paperback. Yeah. Well, I hope so, because I'm planning on selling a bunch of copies of those too. So, you know, obviously I sold a lot of issues individually, but once they're over, I'm going to be looking to sell that collected edition for the rest of my life. So, hopefully we'll sell lots of copies of it. And I mentioned it before where I think this will be one of those evergreen titles that'll sell for, you know, a long time, something like Watchmen or Killing Joke or what have you. This will be a story that people will want to read, I think, for a long time to come. Even after it, you know, years from now when Hickman's done with his run and they've probably rebooted and done something else, this will still be one of those stories that people will want to read.
Oh, yeah. I keep saying, I think it's going to be the next version that shows up in the theaters. I think this is where they're going to go with it, you know.
Yeah, it could be. You know, like I said, I don't know where they're at. I don't know where Disney's at with their X-Men plans, but it could be.
Yeah. One more. We got we'd be remiss if we didn't mention DC Universe celebrating their 1 year in all this streaming service talk. They've already been around 1 year, and we've been talking about them because we've been around almost 1 year. And
pretty much since day one, we've been talking about them.
That the content they have over there, I was just watching Bad Blood the other night. That's pretty good. The animated feature.
You haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. No. I'm almost saying it. Ever? Oh wow.
Never.
Definitely catch that one.
I don't think I've seen it. Doesn't ring a bell. I'm a little worried about DC Universe, honest with you. Well, because it doesn't seem like they're moving forward at any kind of pace with their live-action programming.
We're in the middle of Titans right now.
There hasn't been an announcement. But what's next? Like, Doom Patrol, yes, we're getting another season. Swamp Thing was canceled. Stargirl, I guess, was canceled or put on indefinite hold. It doesn't seem
Harley
like
Quinn
they're...
show is coming out.
Right, an animated show.
And that seems the way they go.
But it just doesn't seem like they're, you know, with all the announcements that Disney Plus has made about all the new
shows
they're gonna
have. Doom Patrol has a second season coming.
It's like, okay, but what else? That's what I'm saying. Like, what else are we getting? Like, where's the next show? Like, where's the whatever it is? You know, I don't even know what the next show is. But what I'm saying is there doesn't seem to be any development going on for like the future, like what they're doing. Yes, we'll get another we don't even know that we'll get a season 3 of the Titans. We hope we will. There'll be a season 2 of Doom Patrol, but like I said, there is no Swamp Thing. There is no Stargirl or whatever they were talking about. I'm just a little concerned that it doesn't seem like they're announcing a lot of projects that are going to keep people, you know, engaged for the long term. Disney Plus has already announced like 10 original shows and they haven't even come out
yet. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know what's worse, that they announce these shows and we'll get them in 2022, or we don't know, but then the show just shows up.
Well, we know we're getting another
Doom Patrol. We know we're getting, I don't know when that's coming, but we know we're getting it. But we also
I
think it's in October. Is that when we're getting Harley Quinn?
We get Harley Quinn
in October. So, you know, and we also know there's more Young Justice coming. So, and I know those are animated.
I'm not saying there's nothing. I'm just saying, like, they haven't announced anything new.
Right.
In, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, there's no new shows that they've announced. I'm just concerned that they're not announcing
anything. I wonder if that's because of the whole HBO Max.
It doesn't seem like they're... Well, that's what makes me a little concerned. Even though they said that, well, they said that DC Universe would be unaffected. Like, they weren't supposed to have anything to do with each other. So, if that's the case, I don't know what HBO Max, how it, it shouldn't even be affecting what DC Universe is doing. Because supposedly they're not going to merge and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to interact with each other. So I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's just me, but I feel like we should be hearing about new stuff. Like, they're not announcing anything to keep us excited for, like, my subscription is just about up and so is yours. So, like, what do they have for me to keep me going? Like, they should, everybody that signed up for that 15 month beta test, they're all getting ready to have to renew. And, like, what is DC doing to excite all of these people to renew
their
service?
Well, you renewed for 15 months. You know, so that takes you – or you signed up for 15 months, and that takes you to what, January?
Something,
just after the new year?
December or January, yeah. I don't know. But that's 3 months from now.
Right.
You know?
Well, devil's advocate – everybody's talking Disney Plus right now. Disney Plus is all the rage. Well, let
me
finish.
So if I'm DC Universe,
all right.
I want to get in on that.
Let me finish. You're being a pretty Debbie Downer tonight. You're upset about something, but let me finish.
I'm not being a downer.
Why? What if they're waiting? And I, you know, devil's advocate here, bright side, you want me to play the damn sounder, but you're in a bad mood about something, but it's like,
well, it's because you got me all riled up before we even started, but that's beside the point.
You're brutal. So what if after the Disney Plus comes out, it dies down, not dies down, but people go over there because it's the new thing. That's what you're going to do. And then they announce their a bunch of shows to get people to look back and go, oh, look at what's coming over here now. Whereas if you put it out now, everybody's all excited about Mandalorian. And what else is coming to Disney Plus? You're talking about all of this stuff that, you know, DC Universe has all, they're not doing anything. But what other live action is coming on Disney Plus other than The Mandalorian in November?
I didn't say it was coming in November. I'm saying they announced.
I know.
We already know
what,
their live-action slate for the next 3 years.
Well, what comes after Mandalorian? Exactly.
I don't know.
So you're upset at Disney, at DC Universe, and you just gave the same answer about Disney Plus. You said, I don't know.
But I know it's something. I just don't have the timeline in front of me. But they've already put it out. Like, we already know all these shows that are coming. Wasp is coming and whatever. WandaVision is coming.
Next
year. We know these shows are coming.
Next year.
Right, but we know they're coming. I didn't say DC Universe has to have one ready to launch in 2 weeks. I'm just saying they should be announcing something. Like, why are you going to wait? Like, so I'm going to wait till I lose all my subscribers to Disney Plus, and then I'm going to say, oh, hey, by the way, we have Superman coming. I want them talking about me instead of Disney Plus.
Yeah, but you're
so,
not.
All the hype is on Disney Plus. I should be getting in there and trying to steal some of that hype away, not waiting until. And I'm not mad at DC Universe. I just said I'm a little concerned that they're not announcing anything new. I'm not mad at anybody.
I know, but
I'm just saying it's concerning that they don't have any new announcements. Like, we haven't heard anything new from that service in half a year. You know, they're not telling us anything's coming. So, whereas Disney Plus has told us what we're getting for the next 3 years already.
Right. But, but they have until January to let us know. Otherwise, like you said, I think that's where their wave of subscriptions will go away. So, you know, I'm not worried about it. There's nothing.
Yeah,
I'm not
saying that they
it.
Have to have a show ready for me. I'm not saying they have to have a show ready for me in January, but they should be at least telling us what they've got working on, what's coming up. They have to be working on something now. If they're not working on it now, then it's 3 years before we're going to see it.
And do you really think they're just going to go dark for 3 years?
They have.
When?
They have. They're doing it right now.
We're in the middle of Titans.
Okay, well, like, we're in a, like, what have you done for me they lately in, world. What like, have they you done? Can't live on, you can't live on Titans. That's happening now.
But you just asked, like, what are they doing? I said over. Titans.
What have Titans! You done for me lately? I've already oh, got not, Titans. I need the next thing.
Three episodes in.
Play the sounder, because you're, like, frustrating.
No, you're frustrated. Like, you're being ridiculous.
No, I'm not.
I'm not
being ridiculous. I voiced a concern that I had, and you started arguing with me about it. I am concerned that they're not announcing new shows. There's nothing to argue, because you're arguing my concern. Like, you're not going to change my mind. I'm still concerned about it. And that's all I was stating, is that I'm concerned that they're not announcing anything new. They don't have to do anything to make me happy. I'm just telling you that it's concerning to me that they are not announcing new projects, because they should be. If they want to keep people engaged in their service, they have to tell them what's coming and get them excited about the next phase of their subscription. A lot of people go month to month. So what keeps me going in January and then February and then March and then April when my subscription ends every single right. 30 days? You got to be telling me something new is coming besides what I already have. Like, what if I don't like Titans? So what's keeping me subscribed?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to give me something new and tell me something's coming, and they're not, and it just concerns me that maybe things aren't going so well, or maybe I don't know what, but it doesn't seem like they're doing a whole lot to keep us engaged in their service.
Well, yeah. All I'm saying is they have till December and then I'm not concerned. And that's all I said is I'm not concerned. There's nothing to be concerned about right now. They have till December because they have you and I for 15 months. And most of their viewers were for 15 months. Everybody else is month to month, because unless you signed up for that, right? So what's the big deal? I'm not concerned. Yep. There's nothing to be concerned about. If it comes to December and we're in the same boat, then yeah, I'll be right there with you. I just think it's a little early to be concerned. We're in the middle of Titans. I'm enjoying DC Universe. And I'm sitting here trying to talk about, like, what they've done over the past year, and you go down the crap route. Oh, they're not doing anything for
me
now.
I'm not going down the crap, bro.
I'm like, I wasn't arguing with you. I was saying that, wow, look at what they've done for a year trying to promote them and make them, because we've really enjoyed the last year. And you're like, I don't want to do anything else with them. I'm worried they're going to go away.
I didn't even say that.
Well, if you're not worried they're going to go away, what are you concerned about then?
Because they could stagnate. Like, I don't want them to hang around for 10 years and not
right,
give us
that's
anything
what I mean.
New, because that's stagnating.
Yeah, there'd be nothing.
You know? I mean, that doesn't mean they're going away. It just
Well, they
means,
would, because you would stop watching you know? It. You'd be like, you'd have nothing.
Well, I'd have Titans, apparently.
So, no, that's what we have now. All right. Yeah. Let's move on to something happier. I don't know if you're ever going to be happy tonight.
I'm fine.
Oh, you already said I set you off before we even started. You can't even drop that.
Well, you did. I did drop it till you pressed the issue. I didn't start the show with that. I was good. I almost said, I'm riled up. How are you? But
oh,
I didn't.
Look at you,
I let
such
it
a
go.
Big man. Look at you. Instead, you bring it up later. You bring it up 30 yeah. minutes into the show instead. Still yeah, haven't let go.
I pushed you.
I was talking about DC Universe. All
pushed
right.
me into it.
Oh, man. I thought tonight was going to be a nice show, a quick show. This is going to be brutal.
That's quick.
Yeah, you just hang up.
It's only 47 minutes.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to. All right. I know something that'll cheer you up.
What's that? I'm not sure that you do, to be honest with you.
Of course.
Because you have not demonstrated yet that you do, but let's go and see what it is.
Let's get into some comic books.
Oh,
you
yeah,
want to do that?
Right. I do.
All right. What am I spending my money on this week?
All right. So this week's speculator books all seem to revolve around the ratio variants. There wasn't really a whole lot on the stands that came out today that were speculator books, but Starting with Absolute Carnage number 3, we have the 1 in 25 variant, the Codex variant. This is going for about $40, so almost double ratio for that. And then also for Lethal Protectors number 2, the Codex variant, that's going for the same, about $40. So these Codex variants over the last couple of weeks, the Carnage one last week, so I sold my copy for, I think, $45. So these are pretty in demand.
Wow.
And like you say, you're not going to find a ton of them on the shelf in most stores, but, you know, they are out there. You know, these are titles that are being ordered in pretty good quantities. So, you know, you should be able to find one, you know, without looking too hard if you want one. But you are going to pay for it. But a new book from Red 5 Comics called Butcher Queen number 1 came out. This is selling for $10 to $15 just for the regular cover. I'm not sure. I didn't order any of these for my store. So this will be one that is more along the lines of just probably smaller order totals out there. Red 5 is one of the smaller publishers. Back to the Marvel variants. We have the Jane Foster 1 in 25 variant. That one's selling for $30, so it's just a little bit over ratio, but, you know, still a decent amount for that. And last but not least, we have from Aftershock Comics a book called You Are Obsolete, issue number 1. This is one that we're going to talk about later on in our recommended reading, or I should say that because we don't call it recommended
book
reading
club
anymore. But from a book club, is that what it is now? Our book club?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's something I'm workshopping. Well,
it's a work in progress, but either way, we'll be talking about it later. The regular covers are just really going for cover price, but the 1 in 10 variant is selling for about $15. Again, normally, the you know, like a book from Aftershock, 1 in 10s would be harder to get, but this being a number 1, they offer returnability on it, so a lot of stores will go ahead and just bite the bullet and get 10 copies just to get that variant, so... again, shouldn't be too hard to track down if you want one. And that's it as far as speculator books for this week.
All right. And what do we got in back issue bonus?
All right. So we have Tank Girl issue number 1 and Deadline issue number 1. So Deadline issue number 1 being the first appearance of Tank Girl. Obviously, you know, we talked about it last week. Margot Robbie's production company has picked up the rights to Tank Girl. So, yep. Of course, that causes the back issues to, you know, become in demand. Tank Girl number 1 that has, I guess it came with a trading card sealed inside the book. If it still has the card intact and sealed, the book's selling for about $135, non-graded. With it being sealed, you know, obviously the book will be in pretty good condition, though, because it hasn't been opened. A graded copy, 9.4, sold for $325 this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the Deadline issue number 1, which is, again, her first appearance, ungraded copy has hit about $550, so... I had no idea that Tank Girl, you know, that her first appearance was worth that much money, to be honest with you. But that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty hefty amount for that.
Well, you think it's because of Margot Robbie?
Partially, but I mean
just her name attached to the show and the popularity might, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know if that did that to that book. It had to already been up there pretty high. Like, she's already had a movie in the past, so...
That's what I mean. And then Margot Robbie's name attached to it, bringing some, you know, a star name to that.
Well, it definitely brings more heat to it. But again, I don't know what it was prior to last week, but I would imagine it was still a pretty good amount. I don't think it jumped to $550 just on that announcement alone. But either way, like, again, these are books that are, you know, the back issue bonus. You know, the original intent of this was to point out books that you might still be able to find cheap
right
out there. This is not that. You know, this one was already up there. But, you know, like I said, seeing a lot of trading this week. Next one is Super Dinosaur issue number one. This is also spiking because of news that it has been optioned. This one at Amazon has picked up the option for this. So this is kind of all over the place. We're seeing sales anywhere between $15 and $75. So like I said, they're kind of all over. But that tells me that you should be able to still get a copy reasonably priced if you look hard enough. A graded 9.8 copy sold for about $80.
Oh.
Book we've talked about multiple times already, but it seems like we're going to keep talking about Young Avengers issue number one. Again, first appearance of Kate Bishop, back in the news again with the, you know, the rumored casting of Haley Steinfeld. This is now up to about $70. I think when we first started talking about this book, it was 15 to 20 yeah. bucks, and it's steadily climbed. Every time we talk about it, it's jumped another 10 to 10 to 15 bucks. I would imagine this will continue to build at least up until the show airs, and then we'll, you know, it'll probably peak or, you know, plateau around that time. And then once the show's off the air, it might actually start declining down somewhat again. But again, this is never going to be a $15 book again. It's always going to be up there, but you know, they do rise and fall a little bit when they're in and out of season.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, we have Spider-Girl issue number 59. This is the first appearance of Ben Parker, the son of Peter and Mary Jane in the M2 universe. So I don't think this is the same Ben Parker that we see in a book we're going to talk about later, Spider-Man number one, the J.J. Abrams book. But even still, this book has seen a price spike. Right now it's about $50. I'm not sure that's going to hold that high for long, but, you know, we'll have to see how this miniseries plays out, with, you know, like I said, from J.J. and Henry Abrams. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. What do we have this week for FOC?
All right. So before we get into the books for FOC, I did want to make a little announcement here. I've already put this up on the Facebook page, but last week Previews World launched a new FOC webpage that will be updated weekly with all of the books that are on FOC. For the consumers to view. So this is something that's never really been available for, at least in available before, at least in one page all put together. So by Friday, all the images should be up for the following Monday's FOC. But even today I was looking at it and 80% of, you know, the FOC was there and available. So this is actually pretty cool. If you want to see everything that's coming up on FOC, for the stores on Mondays, you can look at and browse them all. Yeah, so pretty cool.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah, and I would imagine in the show notes, DJ will put the link up.
Yep.
For people. But like I said, it is on the Arkham Comics Facebook page as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that previewsworld.com.
Previewsworld.com.
Final orders do.
Yep.
It's there.
It's there. All right, so from DC Comics, we have Batman number 81. This is a Francesco Mattina variant cover. Awesome. Awesome cover.
Yeah.
Really good. We have Harleen number 2. This is Stepan Sejic. Also a really cool cover. I liked it quite a bit. And Justice League number 34, Francesco Mattina. So he's busy this on the FOC covers this week. For new series from DC, we have Metal Men issue number 1. This is going to be a 12 issue mini series. There are 2 covers available for it. From IDW, we have Big Hero 6 issue number 1. So this is a popular manga and Pixar movie, I believe.
Yep.
That came yep. out. So this is an ongoing series from IDW for that. From Image, we have The Marked, issue number 1. That's a new series with 2 covers. And that's it for Image. From Marvel, we have 2 Mary Jane... This is Mary Jane variant cover month over there at Marvel. So from Captain America number 15, we have the Adam Hughes Mary Jane variant. And from Guardians of the Galaxy number 10, we have an Art Adams Mary Jane variant. New series. This first one is actually just a one-shot, not a series, but it's Absolute Carnage Avengers number 1. There's multiple covers for it. And then the Jonathan Hickman X-Men issue number 1 is on FOC this week. So we're about 3 weeks away from that being launched, which is awesome. And, of course, it's Marvel and it's X-Men, so there's
multiple
900, 900 covers for it.
Well, it's a nice round number, 900.
Yeah, that's 900.
Good. That's good.
And then from Dynamite Comics, we have Vampirilla issue number 4. So there are multiple covers for this, being a Dynamite book, but I actually think the main cover, the Art Germ cover, is the one to have. This is one of the best covers I've ever seen him do, and he's done a lot of good covers. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it yet, but it's a gorgeous cover. Yeah,
I'll take a look at that for.
Yeah, take a look there for Monday's show.
Yeah,
and that's it for FOC.
All right, so let's get into this week's book club.
Book club.
We'll call it that.
I don't know if that's going to stick, but
we can't call
I can't keep calling it recommended reading, and I have to stop writing that because I read it and I want to keep saying it because I have it written on my paper.
Right.
So,
I don't know. Like I said, we'll keep workshopping it. Book club's now.
Yeah.
We've been doing this almost a whole year. We haven't figured that out yet.
Well, it's just we've evolved because.
Oh, yeah, we're evolved, all right.
Yeah. Well, when we first started, it was really recommended reading. Like, we didn't really put books on here unless we liked them.
And we ran into a couple weeks where there weren't any books we liked.
Right. Sometimes it's harder.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I just don't have time to keep reading book after book until I find one that I like. So it's now just become, you know, books we read, but that's a crappy title. So,
yeah.
We'll keep going.
Let's go with your second one first.
Okay.
Because we both did the first one.
Oh, you read that?
Yeah.
I'm glad then because I really want to talk about
that. So am I.
That.
So we'll each do one and then we'll do that.
All right. So the first book then is from Scout Comics. It's called The Forever Maps, issue number 1. This was written by Michael Lagasse and it had art by Todor Ristov, I'm going to say. Not sure if that's right. So this is actually a pretty cool thing. I guess Scout's been doing this for a while, and maybe I'm a bad store owner because I didn't realize that they did this. But this is part of an imprint that Scout does called Binge. And what they do is they release the first issue of this comic, and then like a month later, they release the graphic novel, and you get the entire story. So it would be like Netflix dropping an episode of a show and then waiting 3 weeks and then dropping the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of wets your whistle a little bit. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I really, like I said, I never realized that they did that. So there won't be an issue 2 of this, but in a month or so, you'll get the whole graphic novel if you want to read it. So
this
was kind of a cool,
like a teaser.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah. But you pay for. So, yeah, it's a teaser that you still pay $3.99 for, and then you pay for the graphic novel, and it starts with issue 1 that you've already read.
Right.
But
so really
but
pay
cool.
attention here, people, because if
yeah. But it's actually pretty cool. So, again, this book, it takes place in, like, the 1700s. It's about a guy named John who's about college-age kid. And, you know, he argues with his father. His father's a successful businessman and wants John to follow in his footsteps. He's kind of picked out the school he wants him to go and told him what he's going to study. And, of course, John being John and being a kid doesn't want to do you know, any of that stuff. So, gets in an argument with his dad, runs away from home, and comes in contact with an old man out in the woods who's, you know, he's in a little bit of trouble. John helps him out, and he acquires a map from the old man. And he starts to become obsessed with this map. You know, he's not sure what it's a map to, and there's not really you know, like an X marks the spot on it or anything, but, you know, he follows the map to the end, and instead of finding something there at the end, all he finds is another map. And this becomes a cycle where he's just following a map and, you know, to another map and to another map. And he has no idea what he's following or what's going on. But he's, you know, like I said, he becomes obsessed with following these maps. You know, doesn't really get to, you know, obviously we don't get to the end of the story, so we don't really know when, you know, what this is leading up to, but, you know, he kind of, you know, finds himself back at home, you know, cause he left under bad circumstances. He wants to kind of make amends and, you know, finds out some other things have gone on, and that's kind of where the first issue ends. But I thought this was kind of interesting. Like, you know, obviously, I don't know what the map is to, but kind of like John, I'm curious.
You are kind of like John.
Yeah. To see, to see what's going on with this. You know, unfortunately, I feel like the format of this might hurt it for me a little bit because I'm not sure that I'm going to buy the graphic novel just so I can finish reading the story.
That was my question, because usually when you finish a book, you're like, okay, well, is that worth another $3.99 or whatever?
Right. Now I have to decide if it's worth $19.
And it didn't grab you enough for that?
Not enough. Not enough that I thought this format was intriguing, but now that I just said what I said, because I didn't really think about it until just now. Yeah, I'm working it out in my head, and I'm like, I don't know if that's a good thing. Because in the long run, a graphic novel is always cheaper than all the issues. But, and you know, most of the time you take the plunge into a graphic novel and you just buy it without having read the first chapter. But I'm not sure that this intrigued me enough that I want to drop the $20 to continue the story.
Exactly.
But it is intriguing. Like, you know, I like the artwork. I like the writing. You know, I don't know. You know, because I'd have to order copies of this for the store, not really for me. And I'm not sure you know, from a sales standpoint, if it's worth ordering copies of this. I'll have to see how this one sells as a number one issue before I decide. But for those that are kind of not in the same position I'm in, and would just be buying one for themselves, you know, you'll have to see if it grabs you enough.
Well, that's what I
because it's really all about the mystery of the map.
Right.
So it's whether or not you're intrigued enough by the map to find out what it's leading John to.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously if you kind of backtrack through the story, I just skimmed it because I didn't want to give away too much. But, you know, the old man had been following these maps like his whole life.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't really know what's going on with this. So, like I said, it's kind of interesting. I feel like you know, I don't know if this format is going to help it or hurt it as far as continuing the story.
So basically your best recommendation off this would be pick up the $3.99 and see if that's enough to grab you. Get your own opinion out of the artwork and then maybe from there.
Or if I did enough to sell you on the idea of it, just wait and buy the graphic novel. Well, like, because you're paying for the first chapter twice.
Oh, okay.
You know, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if done enough to sell people though.
Well, I don't know if I have or not. But I'm just saying, it's almost like you're better off if it sounds like something you might like, you're almost better off just waiting for the graphic novel and buying it all at once that way.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you from listening, I was expecting to be grabbed because it was such a big second purchase. So I was expecting you to be like either.
Well, there's things that happened in it that I didn't.
Were like, you were even wishy-washy. So that's all.
Well, I am. Right. Yeah. That's the whole thing. I am. Like I said, there's other things that happened that make this, you know, a little bit more interesting. And, you know, I just don't want to spoil the whole thing, but it is kind of, I am on the fence on it because, like I said, a lot of times if I want to if I'm not 100% sure, it's easier just to buy another issue for $3.99 as opposed to buying a graphic novel. So, worst case, go to your store and take a look at it and see if it, you know, even looks like something you might be interested in.
Yep.
So, all right. And that's it.
All right. My book is Flash Forward number one, DC Comics. Writer Scott, what's that, Lobdell?
I always said Lobdell, but I'm not sure if that's right
Lobdell,
or not.
Lobdell, yeah.
Yeah.
Artist Brett Booth and Norm Ratman. I grabbed this because I wasn't a big Wally West guy because he was after me. You and I had our discussion on Heroes in Crisis and everything that went on, and we went back and forth on why it was like, the story didn't affect me like it affected other people. I like the Heroes in Crisis story. So I picked this up because I wanted to, you know, learn more about, you know, read a Wally West story, and I figured this would be a good place. And it was pretty good. It was, I like, they're picking up from Heroes in Crisis. I like what he's going through in this story. I thought the artwork was really good. Very vibrant. Just very colorful. A lot of pop to it. Did you happen to see it?
I read it.
Oh, did you? What'd you think?
Yeah. I liked it. I mean, it's a good start.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see. It's a six issue
series. I'm interested to see that the new guy there is he new? I don't know of him. That is giving Wally his
I don't
new,
either.
You'll see in the story. Okay, so.
Yeah, I wasn't sure who he was either.
I like the idea of it. I like where the story's going. It's intriguing enough. And if you're into, you know, the Flash at all in any incarnation, I think it's going to be a fun version, fun story. And like, it's six issues, so it'll be, I haven't read a ton of Wally West, so. You know,
no, but he needs to be redeemed a little bit after Heroes in Crisis. So hopefully this story will take us there. Because, you know, like I mentioned before, Wally's a little tainted now.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens with this.
Yeah. So I really like, I recommend picking it up if you're a Flash fan at all. So yeah, we'll go with that. And our last book that we read. Why don't you start?
So this is from Aftershock Comics. It's called You Are Obsolete. This was obviously issue number one. It was written by Matthew Klickstein. It had art by Yevgeny Bornyakov. I really liked this book a lot.
Yeah.
This is actually one that I am definitely looking forward to reading the next issue for. Just spoilers to skip to the end. This is the TLDR version.
Yeah.
The first thing that stood out for me was the art on this. I've never heard of Yevgeny Bornyakov. I had to look at his little bio at the end of the book, and it looks like he comes from like board gaming and he's done art outside of comics.
Yeah.
But I really liked the art on this. It's a little bit like caricatures in some ways. Like it's not 100% kind of realistic looking, but I really liked the character design. And there's a page at the back where it shows some of his character designs too.
Yeah.
And like I said, I really liked him as an artist. So that was the first thing that jumped out at me. But the story also was really cool. It's about a journalist who. She's somehow kind of gone out of favor, but it doesn't depict that happening. It kind of starts off with her little bio, and then all of a sudden she's like in trouble.
Yeah.
And you don't really know exactly what happened, and I think that's something that we'll hear later. But she's kind of on the outs now after having been a very famous journalist. And she's contacted by some mysterious kids who, know that she kind of needs a job and, isn't really doing anything. And they want her to come and tell their story.
Yeah.
And they're from a really small, isolated island that, doesn't seem like it says, I think she says somewhere that it only took her four planes to get there. So I don't think it's any place that's really easy to get to. But she gets there and then it's kind of, that's where it gets a little creepy. You know, it's kind of Children of the Corn or you don't really know what's going on, but you get the sense that everybody there is afraid of the kids.
Well, yeah, they're running it.
They're basically right. Yeah, they're
definitely
in charge.
A Children of the Corn feel to it. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I really liked it. I thought it was really interesting.
It was, it was a page turner. Like, you didn't want to stop. And when it ended, I was actually pretty disappointed because the book was a little thicker and it ended early.
Yeah, it was a little short. Yeah, it was a little shorter than I thought it was going to be. I got to the last page thinking I had four or five more pages to read.
Yeah, exactly. and you're disappointed, which is good.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's good. Definitely worth picking up, I'd say.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
I don't know if this is a mini series or an ongoing. I couldn't see where it told us. I feel like it's probably a mini series just based on the way this went. I don't know that it was something that would go on indefinitely. But could be wrong. You know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But yeah, like I said, really liked it. I definitely recommend it.
All right. Yeah, me too. Definitely. All right. We actually have one more recommended reading this week coming to us. We've got a message.
Awesome.
Hey, guys. Dr. Joe here. I just wanted to share with you a book that I read this past week that I picked up because I saw some stuff on Twitter about it, and it looked very interesting. It's called Trees: Three Fates. Published by Image Comics and written by Warren Ellis and illustrated by Jason Howard. Very, very interesting book. Very enjoyable. I think you guys would like it. I think, you know, also your listeners might like it as well. It seems to be some sort of either murder mystery or just sort of mystery, thriller kind of story, but really, really fascinating. The beginning of the book takes place in Russia, 11 years in the past, and it starts off between a man and a woman just having some sort of very heated argument in which the man is storming off in his tighty-whities, yelling all sorts of nonsense. And then you have a couple of panels where you see the storm starts to, approach. And then all of a sudden, these three huge trees drop out of the sky, one of which squashes the man. And I got to say, he probably deserved it. And then after that, it jumps back to present day in which... the woman that you saw in the previous panels, her name's Clara, appears that she's some sort of detective, and there's a murder that takes place, and she's sent off to investigate it. I don't want to say it's a dystopian future story, but I think it's either in the future or possibly maybe an alternate universe. But there is some science fiction elements to this. I mean, obviously, we've got trees falling from the sky, but there's some weird alien writing in the trees, and there's a giant robot that is, some sort of mobile crime scene unit. I don't want to give too much away, but Clara, ends up, talking with some people there, and you get a sense that something's fishy going on, and that's sort of how the book ends. But it's pretty tight. It's very interesting, and I'm very much looking forward to book number two and where this story's going to go. I think the artwork's great. Like I said, the storytelling was very good. And I would recommend it. So hopefully you guys get a chance to read this, and hopefully some of your listeners have possibly read this and well and can chime in. And thank you guys for allowing me to record this and send it to you, and I can't wait to listen to it. Cheers.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Joe. That was awesome. Did you get a chance to read that?
I did not. I stopped as soon as I heard it was a dystopian future type story. No, I didn't. I actually didn't have a copy of it, and I didn't get a chance to read it.
Okay, yeah, I read it, and I'll put your mind at ease a little. I'm not necessarily sure it is a dystopian future. They have a power problem, but that could be anything. It doesn't look like when I think of like a I think of like an apocalypse or something, post apocalyptic. Yeah. This seems like
our other favorite.
Yeah, it's almost like there's an issue here with power. So it could be like, maybe they ran out of fossil fuels, because they do have power. They just need to use different means, and it's in the story.
Right.
But I really like Dr. Joe. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to the next one as well. They don't really give much away about the three trees in this.
Except they fall from the sky.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like, I mean, it is. And then there's some other mysteries going on there too. So, I recommend it too. I think it was really good. I think you should, you know, track it down somehow. And take a look. And like Dr. Joe said, I'm looking forward to the second one too.
Cool.
So that was pretty cool. That was nice getting message. So, it was great talking to Joker.
The more messages we get, the less we have to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Exactly.
If we can get everybody to recommend all of our books every week, that would be awesome.
Yeah, then we could just hit play and then we just sit back.
I'm all about the least amount of effort for the most amount of content.
Exactly. All right, let's get into House of X, like some spoiler-free stuff.
Okay.
What'd you think of today?
I think it is a total game changer.
Now, I saw you put that out on Twitter. Is that good or bad?
That's awesome.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, sometimes you can say, like, it's a game changer, like, I'm out.
No, it was good.
Oh, good.
Well, first of all, it answers a question that we had a couple of weeks ago about how a certain dude could still be around. It also answers a question we had when the first thing started about the first page or two of House of X number one, because we weren't really sure what was going on there, and now we have the answer to that.
Yep.
This is definitely a red line book.
Yep.
So if you look at the timeline, now we know what the red line means, because both of the books that had red lines were completely changing the game. The first one was issue number two. That was the Maura McTaggart reincarnation story. Obviously this one we're talking spoiler free, so we're not going to mention it. But then the next red line we get is the last one, Powers of 10, number six. So, without going into too many spoilers, I don't know how much we can say. This was I thought it was an awesome issue. It really sets the stage for a lot of things to come.
There's only one book left for House.
For House, right? Yes. But I like mean, again, said, things to come in general.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That it's...
It, yeah.
It is a bit, like you said, it's a game changer. That was a great... I mean, I kind of knew you were excited about it, because usually you're not the first one to tweet about stuff.
I'm not, and I...
And you jumped on that.
I was really just responding... Yeah, I was just responding, though, to something Dr. Joe had, but yes, I was looking... I was actually on Twitter looking to post something. I had just finished reading it, and I just that just happened to be there, and it gave me the opportunity to post about it. I haven't seen where Dr. Joe has responded yet. I'm sure by now he's probably read it, but I think it was great.
And how about the J.J. Henry Abrams Spider-Man book? Did you read that today?
I did read that. It's not a game changer.
Well, spoiler free, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It is kind of a game changer.
Well, it is. I mean, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. But it's definitely turned the Spider-Man mythos on its ear a little bit. Maybe a lot. Maybe a lot of
And could you say it's like another Spider-Verse?
Well, it's an Elseworlds type of story. I don't know that it's Spider-Verse in the sense that it'll ever interact with other, you know, spider characters. I think it's more of like an Elseworlds or a what if, kind of a what if type of story. It's like I said, it was definitely not what I expected going into this. At all, really.
No, it wasn't. And that's what I kind of feel like you do. I really enjoyed it. But I did have that sense as I'm reading it. I'm usually conscious of, well, one, what are you going to think? And then after that, I think of like, what's the general public going to think? And it's like, regardless of how I feel about it, you know, I'm always like, oh, how are people going to react to this? Because it's, you know, it's fun to take a look.
I think it's going to be divisive.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be a certain amount of people that will really like it, and there'll be a certain amount of people, that won't like it. Like I said, I think it'll be very divisive.
Yeah.
So
there's not much else we could say about it. Spoiler free.
Yeah.
Hey, and because of that, let's wrap up.
Okay.
We'll lock up the store and we got a little something extra. Sound good? All right. So for everybody, thanks. Thanks for listening. This was quite the chore for us to put together yet again tonight, but
yeah, seems to be our lot in life lately.
Right now. Yeah. But we're getting things together. Yeah. Hit us up on Twitter at, @thebrightside_chat. Love to get the comments. I mean, we're getting tons of them and now email us your audio at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com and anything, questions, comments, you know.
Yeah, I love that. I think it adds something really good to the show, and I would love to have more audio from our listeners.
You know what's funny is I was listening to Martin today on Comics Talk Today, and he ended his show with talking about there are other shows doing that. And he's like, oh, and I want to, you know, get some comments and bring in some audio. So I immediately texted him. I'm like, well, I guess that falls under the there are no original ideas, because you and I literally just thought of it over like last weekend, right? And I'm like, not that I thought it was an original idea, but literally the guys in the Nerdy Legion are doing it. So I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, yep, anything for content. It's fun. And it's fun to interact. So, and that's kind of what we're about, conversation in a store. So, yeah, definitely. That, if we can grow that and just keep emailing us the audio, and we'll put it in and we'll talk about it. And, proud members of the Nerdy Legion. And, yeah, you got that big smile on your face. So proud I did it right.
I am.
All right. Let's close up the store.
All right.
Hey, Fred. All right, John, make sure that door is locked.
Oh, it's locked.
All right, let's talk.
Nobody's getting it.
All right, let's talk spoilers here. Which one do you want to talk spoilers on first? Spider-Man or House?
I mean, it doesn't matter. We kind of ended with Spider-Man, so I guess we can
keep
going on that.
So were you shocked when Mary Jane was?
I was.
I had to read it twice because they did the silhouette scene.
Yeah, I was like, is that Mary Jane getting skewered from behind?
Yeah, it's I was like, oh, this.
What is going on there?
Now, were you shocked, like, mad? Or were you excited, like, you like where this story's going?
Well, I knew that this was a, you know, like I said, basically a what if or an Elseworlds story. So it didn't bother me as much as it would have bothered me if that happened in, like, the Amazing Spider-Man run.
Right.
Where you know it's going to be canon or something, you know. So it didn't really upset me as much because I, you know, it quote unquote doesn't count.
Right.
But it did make me, a little bit more interested, in where
it
the story was going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was, you know, obviously a big, you know, a big shock because, you know, the book starts out just like any other Spider-Man book. You know, I mean, it's Spidey fighting a bad guy. Mary Jane's there kind of cheering him on or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks like business as usual until like, you know, three pages in or so, you know, Mary Jane gets killed.
Yeah.
That was something. And, you know, I think then it goes right to the funeral, like right to the graveyard, you know, the cemetery scene from there.
Yeah, they jump right.
And
then they do a 12-year jump after that.
Right, and then it flash forwards.
Yeah, because they show, I think at the graveyard scene, that's where you actually see that they have a son.
Right.
And he's obviously young there. And then they jump 12 years in time. And now you're dealing, and Peter's no longer. And that was the other thing. They said, like, oh, Peter's like, not Peter, Spider-Man. They ended that like, oh, Spider-Man disappeared. And then 12 years later, you find out he's still gone.
Right. And so this is where, it you know, the story bothers me a little bit because I don't like the portrayal of Peter here. Like, Peter, you know, becomes a, you know, an absence. Like, obviously Mary Jane's death broke him.
Yeah.
Although, you don't know if that is the exact moment when he stops being Spider-Man. Because when we see Peter again, he's got a prosthetic arm. But you don't see where he loses that. So you would assume that he loses that in battle somehow as Spider-Man. Like, we don't know if he stops being Spider-Man immediately after Mary Jane dies.
Did he lose it in that battle with Mary? He was banged up when Mary Jane was helping him, remember?
I didn't see that depicted on the page. He might have.
Right.
But we don't know. It's kind of still up in the air. And I think we'll find out that a little bit later on. But, you know, obviously when we see Peter, he's broken. Like, he's lost his will to be Spider-Man. But he's kind of an absentee. He's an absentee dad. You know, he's not even a good father. And, like, I don't like that portrayal of Peter necessarily. Like, I understand that the death of Mary Jane would take a toll on him. But, like, in the, you know, in the main, like, in the 616 universe or whatever, you know, Peter loses Gwen Stacy early on, and who was the love of his life. And it doesn't break him. It was kind of like in Batman 3, the Christopher Nolan one. Batman Returns? No.
Oh, Christopher Nolan?
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises, yeah.
You know, he kind of has that same thing where, you know, Rachel gets killed in the second movie.
Yeah.
And then he stops being Batman for a while.
Right.
And I had a problem with that, too, because, like, I don't think he stops being Batman. And I'm not sure Peter stops being Spider-Man there because he still has that sense of responsibility regardless of, you know, Mary
but
Jane
being lost.
But, yeah, we'll see because maybe, like I said, maybe what that happens, isn't exactly when he stops being Spider-Man. But even, like I said, so I had a little bit of issue with Peter's character throughout the rest of the book. But, you know, obviously we meet Ben, who's the son. And then his story is basically like it's the parallel of Peter's story. You know, he doesn't get bit by a spider, but he inherits his powers through Peter. And it looks like it's going to be the Spider-Man story. Except with Ben, but we don't know for
sure. What I liked about it, and with the rest of the story, is I liked the dynamic of Peter coming back, Peter being a father, Peter not being exactly, apparently, not being the greatest dad, and with the guilt that he's carrying or whatever, and telling, like, Aunt May, like, you're better off without me, and Ben's better off without me.
Right.
Obviously, this is going to be a Spider-Man story and there's going to be action and you're going to find that out. But I also like that whole dynamic of that father-son relationship where, yes, I agree that we see that Ben seems to be mirroring Peter's track, but with a completely different dynamic, you know, where Peter had an absentee father. His parents were gone.
Right.
And then Uncle Ben dies. In this one, you have, for all intents and purposes, kind of an absentee dad, but kind of a, you know what I mean? So it's like, which in this case, it's even worse.
Well, but then does Peter become Uncle Ben? Like, does Peter get killed?
I don't know. But what I was going to say is he's not really absentee. He's around, which makes it worse. Because now Ben probably is like, why isn't my dad here?
Well, he was only around. Well, he's around in the sense that he's alive.
That's what I mean. But not with him.
But yeah.
So there are so many directions they can go off of this, and that I'm really interested in that. And I think if people can give it a chance, I think it can be really good. And it is. It's an Elseworlds story, like you said. But I think it's going to be definitely one to
track. I'm on board for the rest of it. You know, like I said, I'm not quite sure how I feel about it because, you know, again, I don't like to portray – even – you know, it's one thing, again, for him to be a bad, you know, an absentee dad or a bad father. But even when he is there interacting with Ben, you know, he's trying to beat the idea into him that he shouldn't try to help people. You know, helping people only gets you, you know, misery or, you know, never leads to anything good. And you just wonder, you know, again, we know that Mary Jane was killed. But is that enough to turn Spider-Man into this Peter? You know, there has to be more. Like, I don't think her. I know he loved her to death, and, you know, don't get me wrong. Like,
right.
My wife died. You know, I mean, I know how I would feel, but is that enough still to turn Spider-Man into this Peter Parker? I think there's still more to the. I think there's still more to that story. Like, more stuff has happened to Peter that we don't know about yet.
And we'll see.
Just Mary
Jane. And that, and again, that's what I really like about. There's so much that, so much stuff that can be mined here that. I mean, honestly, I hadn't even thought of until this book. So that's kind of cool. You know, he's opened up like a new world, like an else world, but it's a good story.
Right.
I think it's going to be fun.
Right. And, you know, we don't know much about Cadaverous yet. But,
yeah.
You know, obviously I think he's going to play a major role in this story going forward. You know, cause he's been billed as, you know, the scariest villain that Spider-Man's ever faced. So, you know, we don't
superheroes going to show
issue.
Up. Who knows? You know?
Yeah, who knows? We don't know.
You know, so it's – how long is this run?
I'm wavering between 5 and 6 issues. I'm not 100% sure. But it's, you know, it's not like a 12 – you know, it's relatively short.
Did you read the back where they talk about the history of getting this made?
I started
it's
to
pretty
read
good.
I read some
it's
of it.
Good.
I didn't read all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, pick that. Yeah, read that. It's pretty good. This has been ongoing for a while, and I've heard that.
Yeah,
like,
I did see that.
J.J. Abrams isn't just a name on this either. He legitimately had a part.
Well,
of it.
I wonder, you know. Like, I've seen an interview with J.J. and Henry Abrams, Abrams talking about this, and Henry looks like he's about 12. Like, I don't know how old this kid is, and I say kid because obviously he's young adult, but I don't know, I got the sense when this was first announced that J.J. was only attached to get Henry, you know, so Henry could write this book. It may be more than that, because listening to the interview with both of them, it does seem like JJ was a little bit more involved and they collaborated more than that. But it really stung to me a little bit of nepotism that, you know, Henry wanted to write a Spider-Man book. So he just said, "Hey dad, call Marvel and tell him to let me write a book." But it might be a little more than that.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. But yeah, like I said, I think it's going to chase some people off. Like, it's going to be a little divisive.
Hey.
Some people might not be along for the ride. And
sometimes divisive is entertaining.
You
know. Listen to the early part of the podcast.
You know, I heard a quote. I was reading a book yesterday. Not a comic book, but like a novel. And there was a quote in there that really struck me, talking about art. And the quote was, "The only way to make art that nobody will hate is to ensure that nobody will love it." And I thought that was great. You know, I really liked that quote. And I think this book, you know, I heard that yesterday and then I read this book today and it like summed it up perfectly for me. You know, I think this book is going to be that.
Well,
you know, maybe we don't all love it at the end, but
Well, and that's what I said to
we'll see.
Marcos on Twitter the other day. It was like, love hate is fine, apathy is the worst. And it's like, if you just don't care, it's like that's the worst thing you could say about something. You're like, "Yeah, whatever." All right. Let's get into House for a little bit here. Spoilers.
Yeah.
This was, I don't know, where do you want to start?
Well, I guess the first, like, again, let's go back to House of X number one, you know, where we started that book with, like, the creation scene, and we weren't sure what was going on because it looked like they were fully formed mutants crawling out of the ooze. I think that's how I described it when we talked about that book. And we didn't know what was going on. Well, now we know, right? Like, that they are being basically incubated
at any time.
Eggs.
Well,
at
did
any
you read
time.
The guidelines
so
on
what
when
I loved
they can
about
do it?
This is that, well, I did. But what I loved about this whole scenario with the resurrection, basically, of the mutants is that Hickman took five existing X-Men characters with very innocuous powers and, like, meshed them all together into this unit that could basically reincarnate mutants. Like, we didn't know what the gold balls were for.
Yeah, but are you saying what the characters that, like, they knew he could make?
No, I don't think anybody knew.
They found out they were eggs.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, but I don't think they were before. I think this is like, I think this guy could just create gold balls and it was a useless power and Hickman turned it into something. That's what I'm saying is, like, these characters existed before, but their powers were not, like, they didn't matter. Like, they were kind of irrelevant X-Men. But Hickman now took these five characters and made them basically the most powerful X-Men
together
in existence.
Yeah, together, doing what they do together.
Together, right. Together as a unit. As a unit, together, like, what's more powerful than Resurrection?
Which one of them, like, you know, dies a lot because he uses his power? One of, and they always have one ready to go. So,
what did he say?
Yeah.
Proteus?
So, like,
Proteus?
He
dies anywhere from a week to
depending on how much he uses his power. And you're like,
right.
But you need him to resurrect him. And it's like, we're getting into a chicken and egg theory here. It's like, it's the depth of this book, what this has done is insane.
Yeah, well, because we went from what was the last issue where, you know, this whole team of X-Men dies, and we're like, oh my god, like, Cyclops is dead? Like, Jean Grey is dead? Like, what's going on? All these X-Men are gone. And then we're like, oh, how does Scott show up on the cover of X-Men number one? And, you know, now we know. But, like, that's such a, I don't know, like I said, it's a complete game changer that now these X-Men are basically indestructible. Because Charles could send him on these suicide missions and then just bring him back. Now, I don't know how comfortable it is for the guys that are getting killed all the time and being brought back. Yeah, but they remember, because when Scott's reborn, the first words he says is, did it work? Or,
right.
You know, were we successful or whatever it was, something like that. And Charles even says to him, you know, even though I knew I could bring you back, it's still, you know,
yeah, let's not do this
again or whatever
for a while or whatever.
Yeah.
But
so, it does call into question, like, obviously this is still not a, a never ending scenario, because if we jump ahead to like the year 100 and the year 1000 timelines, you get the sense that this is not still going on. So something still disrupts this whole process.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because clearly they're not indestructible. Yeah. And immortal, because they do die off. So, and I mean, you can almost see how you do it. You kill a couple of the mutants that are reincarnating people. So.
Right. Although they had redundant systems in place for those guys, because it says that.
Well, what about.
But yeah, somewhere over time, over a thousand
year timeline,
Professor
X,
breaks
though?
Down and it stops
working.
What
about Xavier? What if you kill him? Because he's the one that puts their minds back and everything. So what happens if Xavier goes down?
Well, he says that – he does say that it says somewhere on the white page that his capacity wasn't enough that he could resurrect, you know, 3,000 mutants.
But they're
going
to train people.
And that he would have to train – right. He would have to train other people. But maybe he gets taken out before that happens.
Yeah.
We don't know. But the whole idea of this resurrection and the way it was accomplished, I think – like I said, it just sets up so many possibilities for, you know, the future with this. And like I said, I thought it was awesome. Like, it was just so well done, the way they brought those characters together.
Obviously, you've been reading for years and years. Have you read anything? I mean, this is blowing away anything I've read in a long, long time.
Yeah, no, I've never read. Never anything on the scope of that, or what this series is doing in general. Like I said, this breaks a lot of ground. Not even just for the X-Men history. I just think in comics in general. Like, I think this story is so smart and so well done that, like I said, it obviously it affects the X-Men because it's an X-Men book. But like I said, just comics in general, like this is such a well done story and so well thought out and
yeah.
planned out.
And what I think is like, so I feel like we're reading something that's just being born, just being created. It, almost like if you were around when the X-Men were invented or when even say like a Spider-Man and you're like, what is this new thing? You know, it's like, oh, this is a pretty crazy story. But what makes it even more dynamic and unbelievable is that it's not a new, he is recreating something. And to be able to do that and still be able to capture us and have us not be like, oh, what's going, well, what about this? You know what I mean? We're fine with the past. This is just a new way of looking at it.
It's not just your normal reboot of
it's a recreation.
I don't want to say it's like next level comic book telling or next generation comic book telling, because I don't know if I want to ascribe that much power to it. But I mean, it really feels like that in a way. Like I said, it really is unlike anything I've read before, you know, in comics. There's different stories that have been just as good. You know, like there's other types of stories that have been awesome, but like I said, I haven't read anything like this, you know, in a long time or less that I can even remember, you know, where it's kind of anything that's had such implications for existing characters, you know, and like what the potential and like not even, you know, we talked about the resurrection part of it, but we haven't even talked about like Apocalypse and, you know, bringing those characters
hands with Xavier
and into the fold. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
it's,
you know, unbelievable.
It's, yeah.
You know, so yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I wonder what, like I said, this is the second of the three Red Line books. And I just wonder what happens in the last,
that's
one,
the last book,
which ends up being the last. Right, it ends up being the last book.
That's a Powers, right? We end on Powers? Yeah.
It is Powers of Ten. Yeah, it's
Got
Powers
my
of Ten.
Crossed there.
yeah. Yeah, I know, because so far the Powers have...
They're not as strong.
Been on par with the House.
They're not as entertaining.
Yeah, with the House.
They're just so... But they're...
They seem more informational. Like, the Powers books seem more like the Grout... That holds the tiles together.
Yeah, the tiles are the art and the power, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Powers is the Grout. So
I'm
going to text Jonathan Hickman and tell him that the Powers of Ten is the Grout that holds the X-Men
together. I wouldn't go
together.
As far as saying that I think, I wouldn't say House wouldn't be as good without Powers, but it,
no.
But I definitely would say that you wouldn't be following Powers without House. But at the same time,
I agree. Like if it stood on its own as a 6-issue miniseries, I don't know that Powers is.
I really don't
talking
think
about
this is House Powers.
Like
House I think
like
this is just like one long series, and they just renamed a book.
Well, it is. I don't. Right. I don't. Again, I don't know why this wasn't just House of X 12 issues. Like it doesn't make any sense why this had to be.
Well, I you
the
see
way
what
it
they're
is.
Doing. Each book has a different feel, so that's why they did it. And
it does.
It makes sense.
It does,
but
you could have told the same story in a 12 issue. Like, cause when you get to the thing is that this only is relevant now. Like, after 3 weeks from now, this story lives on forever in a graphic novel that's all just going to be called House of, I don't even know what it's called. House of Powers or whatever. Yes, it's one graphic novel. That's going to be formatted in the 12-week format. And this is just going to be one story. So.
Well, what if they
did
it?
That's how it's
going to
live forever.
Did two books? It's a two-book set, and then you, and it tells you go to this one. Oh, they're definitely not?
Yeah, but they're definitely not. It's combined in one book. So it is going to be told as one story.
Okay.
Like I said, for everybody else that reads it. So I don't know why it couldn't have been told that way. From the beginning. There must be a reason. Obviously, there's some reason for it, but we may never know. And it really doesn't matter. In the end, it doesn't matter what title's on the outside. It's still the same 12-issue story. You really can't read one without the other. I think you could read House on its own, and it would still be good.
You'd be missing a lot of information clearly. That's why I think they do play off each other, but the House is just so much more entertaining.
They do.
So. Right. All right. That's enough. We got to get going.
Yeah.
But, hey, anybody that hung out, got to hang out.
Free bonus content.
Hanging out with
end.
Us with behind closed doors doing some spoilers. Unlock the door. Let me out. I got to get out of here.
All right. Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.